Let me think with you just a few moments about what he has been doing as it relates to this. I said, starting in the 1897, the first Zionist Congress, the Jews started coming back into the land. Well, what's been going on since that time has been unbelievable. Since Judy and I moved to Israel, and we're talking about in January of 1991, since we moved there, 1.3 million Russian Jews have come to live in the land. That's an increase in the population of one nation by 37%. That has never happened in the history of the world. In less than a decade, 37% increase in the population of one particular nation. The book of Jeremiah, chapter 16, 23 and 31, all prophesied at the time of the end, I will reach into the north, and Russia is due north from Jerusalem. By the way, Ezekiel 5:5 says, Jerusalem, the center of the earth, all the nations around her. So all direction in the Bible is based on Jerusalem, and due north is the nation of Russia. 1.3 million have come to be in the land. May the 24th, 1991, was a Friday afternoon. Now, Friday afternoon at sundown, the Sabbath begins. The trains don't move. The planes don't fly. They park the automobiles. The buses don't run anymore. It's the Sabbath. And for 24 hours, they honor God by not doing all of the things that they would normally do. That afternoon, 42 aircraft took off from Ben-Gurion Airport, flew across southern Israel, across the Red Sea, into Addis Ababa, Ethiopia. Meanwhile, in Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, 15,000 Ethiopian Jews were making their way over to the airport. In the next 24 hours, all 15,000 Ethiopian Jews would be transported all the way to Israel in the greatest airlift to take place in the history of the world. There were 28 aircraft in the air at one time. One big jumbo jet carries about 500 people. This big jumbo jet took out every seat. There were 1,087 people on that one airplane. While it was flying from Addis Ababa, Ethiopia, into Jerusalem, while it was in the air, there were seven babies born on the airplane. They landed at Ben-Gurion Airport. They came over to Jerusalem. Mr. and Mrs. Journalists, Jimmy and Judy, go down to meet them, you know. I'm going to cover this story. Have my microphone. I'm going to down there and do some interviewing. I get down there. They don't speak Hebrew. They don't speak English. I don't speak their language. I'm kind of useless. Judy with her camera, she's the photographer in our crew, and she was taking her pictures. I said, hey, honey, we need to go help them because they were going to go downstairs to eat. I walked downstairs, and all these Ethiopian Jews had been starving to death, were seated at the table, and the Israelis had put there for them to eat a plate that had a boiled egg on it, had a container of yogurt, had some olives, some pickles, had some tomatoes, some cucumbers, some onions, just normal fare, what we eat in Israel. They had it all there, but the Ethiopians didn't know how to eat it. They'd never seen a boiled egg. Well, man, they ate the chicken if it was around. They didn't wait for it to drop an egg. So they didn't know what a boiled egg was. They were starving. So I took this boiled egg, I cracked it and peeled it, and showed this old man how to eat the boiled egg. And he started eating it. Then I looked over at this lady, had a baby strapped to her back. I walked over, I opened up the yogurt container. I took the spoon and started feeding the baby, and then I started feeding her. And it started to catch on. And as I was doing that, the tears were streaming down my eyes, because I remembered Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 10, where it says, at the time of the end, I will reach into Ethiopia. I will get my prize, and I will bring them into Jerusalem. I was actually touching the fulfillment of prophecy right there on the spot. By the way, you just touched the fulfillment of prophecy. You said the word Aliyah. Say it again.
Aliyah.
That means to go up to Jerusalem. That's Hebrew. You know what? A dead language, 2,000 years dead, Hebrew, was restored. God's word in Jeremiah 31, 23, Zephaniah 3, 9 says, when I bring the people into the land, I will restore their language. You just touched fulfilled prophecy with your lips by saying Aliyah. He's brought them back into the land. They speak Hebrew. Do you think 108 different nations, dialects, and languages would sound like Babylon reversed? But now they speak the one language, Hebrew. which we're going to be speaking forever, so you better start learning it anyway. God is doing some unbelievable things. Well, go back to chapter 37. Let me show you something. We've got a few moments left. Let me just spend a few more moments here in chapter 37. You may have heard some of the things I've just talked about, the return of the Jews back to the land, a miraculous incident that has been taking place. Even as I speak, tomorrow morning, 600 French Jews will be flying into Ben-Gurion Airport. They are a part of all the Jews that are making their way back into the land. Earlier this year, about 3,000 Jews from North America made their way back into the land. These people, when they get there, they get out, they kiss the tarmac. They're so excited and they say, "We're home, we're home." Remember last summer when the war was going on between Israel and Hezbollah in southern Lebanon? The Jews were coming in by the numbers. And the prime minister went out to meet them and said, "You are the greatest strength we have. You Jews coming home in our time of need." And that's what's going on. It's in the process of being fulfilled. You cannot deny what God is doing with the Jewish people. But there's one other thing I want to show you here in chapter 37. Look at verse 15 with me, if you will. Verse 15. "The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, Moreover, thou son of man, take one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions. And join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand." Now, if you read that and you read it with me and you listen to it with me, it's almost like double talk. Let me just look up here just a moment. Let me show you exactly what I just said to you as I read this passage of Scripture. He tells Ezekiel to take two sticks. On one stick to put Judah, on the other stick to put Israel. When he has these two sticks in one hand, take his other hand, put the two sticks in the other hand, and while the two sticks are in his hand, those two sticks will become one stick. And that's a prophecy. He's talking about what's going to take place. He's talking about after the Jews are coming into the land. Let me just give you this hint. Chapter 38 is the alignment of the nations. I speak on that tomorrow morning. The alignment of the nations when they form a coalition to come against the Jewish state. And those nations that are listed there are the Islamic nations of the world. So between the time the Jews started coming into the land and the time the nations go against Israel, he says, take two sticks, Judah, Israel. Put them in your hand, the two become one. Now, maybe you've thought about that a little bit, and maybe you think, well, I know what that's talking about. In 1 Kings chapter 11, after King Solomon had reigned for 40 years as king, one of his adversaries, Jeroboam, decided to divide the 12 tribes. So Jeroboam, who was from Beth-El, a part of the tribe of Ephraim, took 10 of the tribes and they went to the north to a place called Dan and they went up there to live. The other two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, stayed in the south and Rehoboam, who was Solomon's son, would become king of Judah. And so the Jewish people were divided. And maybe you've heard some television program on some of these weird cable networks talk about the 10 lost tribes of Israel. We found them. We know where they are. They're gathering in now. That is not what this is talking about. There is no such thing as 10 lost tribes of Israel. Get it out of your mind. No Jew is lost as it relates to not being found by his own people. They're all lost and on their way to hell if they don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But there is no such thing as 10 lost tribes. Let me prove my point. Keep your finger here. We're going to come back and explain the rest of this prophecy.